When Jesus appeared on the scene preaching and teaching, he caused quite a stir. When the people heard his words and saw his works, they were left astonished. We find in Mark 1, verse 22. Not only were they astonished, but they were amazed, as we see in verse 27 of Mark 1. When they heard him speak, they said, "Never a man spoke like this." When they saw him work, they said, "We never saw it in this fashion before." Jesus left them dumbfounded by his power and by his teaching. In our last study, we went with Jesus Christ to the synagogue on a Sabbath morning. While he was there, he taught the people with power and authority. Jesus was amazing in his preaching. As we continue to follow the Lord through the events of that one Sabbath day, we're going to witness some more areas where Jesus was truly amazing. Our text today finds Jesus still in the synagogue. He's still teaching the Word of God in power. The people are sitting there with their mouths hanging open in amazement at the words of Jesus Christ. Let's rejoin Jesus in the synagogue and consider the rest of the events that occurred that Sabbath day. Look at verses 23 and 24. "Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.' And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.' And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee." Jesus preaches with power. As Jesus preaches, he's interrupted by a demon-possessed man. The demon uses the man's vocal cords, causing him to scream. The demon declares his awareness of just who Jesus Christ is. The demon declares Jesus to be the Messiah. Jesus rebukes the demon and frees the possessed man from the demon's grip. This amazing scene has some lessons to teach us if we'll but receive them. What is a demon? Liberal theologians would say that the people in the Bible times, well, they were unsophisticated and thought that people with mental problems maybe were demon-possessed. They go on to say that Jesus knew better, but he played along with their superstitious beliefs that, you know. But then again, if Jesus did that, that would make Jesus and the writers of the gospel liars. In reality, demons are the fallen angels that follow Satan when he rebelled against God. These demons possess the power to inhabit the bodies of unsaved people. Demons possess people in order to use their physical bodies to carry out the will of the devil. We read a little something in Revelation about the demons and the devil. Look at Revelation 12. Starting at verse 7. "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought." So here you have Michael, his angels, fighting with the dragon and his angels. And it says, "But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." There you have Satan, the devil, cast out of heaven. Notice, he deceives the whole world, and he's cast to the earth, and his devils and his angels are cast out with him. So there's no denying Satan, And there's no denying angels, angels that fought with Michael, and angels that did not rebel. We see that the devil is real and that the demons are real. Demon possession was something that Jesus encountered on a regular basis during his earthly ministry. It may be that Satan was actively trying to disrupt what Jesus was doing, and that demonic activity was more prominent than it is now. The truth is, though, demonic activity is very prevalent today. I have no doubt that much of the evil in this world is perpetrated by people who are possessed, impressed, and controlled by the devil. The devil would love you to think nothing more than that he doesn't exist, or if he does exist, well, we look at Halloween and it's people dressed up in red costumes with little horns and pitchforks and everything. That's exactly what Satan would want you to think. But that is far from what the scripture teaches about Satan and about demons. We also need to note that the demon both recognized Jesus Christ and his authority to deal with demons, as we see in Mark 1, verse 24. He's saying, notice, let us alone. Not only one, us, plural. Saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? Here they are acknowledging that he has the power to destroy them. What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. The demons know Jesus Christ. They know his power, and they fear. James 2, verse 19, tells us this. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe, and they tremble. It is said, but often demons have more respect for the Lord Jesus Christ than lost people. Billions of people around this world refuse to acknowledge the existence of the Lord, and they refuse to bow to his power. Realize this, they have less sense than the devil. The devils can confess. And notice what Christ does in our text in verse 25. But Jesus rebuked them, saying, be quiet, come out of him. Some translations, it says, hold thy peace and come out of him. Hold thy peace or be quiet. Literally means to be muzzled. Jesus told the demon to shut up and to vacate the premises. The demon immediately obeyed the Lord's command and left the body of the poor possessed man. He commanded the demon and the demon came out. He didn't make a suggestion to a demon or an invitation to a demon. He commanded the demon and it left the body of the poor possessed man. Why did Christ cast out the demon? When the demon was telling the truth about Jesus Christ. Christ did not want to be identified with the devil, but with the Heavenly Father. He refused to receive the testimony of demons. Jesus Christ did not come to save the fallen angels. He came to save fallen men and women, fallen people. He came to save sinners. What gives him the most glory is a redeemed sinner testifying to his power and to his identity. When the people witnessed the power of Jesus Christ to cast out the demon, verse 27 says, they were amazed. I guess they were. They were amazed. That word means astonished, frightened, rendered motionless. They were riveted in their places when they saw Jesus do this. I get the idea that this was not the first time that this fellow had shown up at the synagogue and had disrupted the service, but this was the first time they had ever seen anyone take authority over a demon and deliver somebody from Satan's grip. When they saw what Jesus could do, they began to spread the word about him all over the countryside, as it says in verse 28 of Mark 1. and immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Neighbors began to tell neighbors, and before long everyone in that area heard about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he could do. I want to point out a couple important principles. First, there's no hopeless cases with Jesus Christ. No hopeless cases. Regardless of how low into sin a person has fallen, regardless of how firm a grip Satan may have on them, regardless of the power of their addictions or the vileness of their sins, there is power in Christ to save them and to deliver them from the grip of sin and Satan. That person the world views as beyond saving is the very person that Christ will wind up saving. If you look at your Bible, you'll find case after case that appeared hopeless, yet in every case, Jesus Christ was able to save that soul and to change that life. Consider Saul of Tarsus. He hated Jesus Christ. He did everything in his power to destroy the church and the gospel. God saved Saul by his grace and changed his life. The man who so violently opposed Jesus Christ became the mightiest weapon in the Lord's arsenal in those days. As we continue to move through the verses of Mark, we're going to witness person after person that appeared to be hopeless. They appeared to be hopeless cases. We're going to watch Jesus Christ save them and change them by his power. So never give up. Never give up. Jesus has the power to save anyone, anytime that he pleases. He'll save anyone who will simply repent of their sins and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Secondly, in Jesus' day, the people just weren't excited about the synagogue. They weren't excited about the synagogue. It was always the same dull, boring waste of time to the people. When Jesus Christ came and worked in power, the people left the synagogue excited about what they had heard and seen. Not one without the other. They heard and they seen. They spread the word and the multitudes responded, as we see in Mark 1, verses 33 and 34. Then the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases, cast out demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak, because they knew him. The whole city was gathered together at the door. Realize this. The world is sick and tired of the church. The sick to death of our legalism, our ritualism, and our hypocrisy. They watch us live. They see no difference between us and them. They hear us preach and they believe that we're out of touch with reality. We speak a different language. We preach a strange message and we do weird things from their perspective. What the world is looking for is not business as usual from the church. What the world is looking for is the power of God. When the church becomes a place where the Holy Spirit is moving in power, doing the unusual and changing lives for the glory of God, they will come. Every revival that has ever taken place, the world came. First the church, people in the church were saved, and then the world came. They came because of the power of God being manifested. When we preach our message in the power of God, the people will respond. As a church, we could do nothing better than to get on our faces before God, to get on our faces before God in prayer, seek his presence, seek his power in these days. We do not need another Bible translation. We don't need another style of music. We don't need another technological breakthrough. We don't need more coffee, more donuts, more CEOs, more leaders. We don't need all of the demographics. We don't need all the shucking and jiving and how we got it all figured out. We need the power of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit, spoken through the Word and manifested through the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe it was John Wesley who was asked about his popularity. His response was to say, "I just get myself on fire and people come and watch me burn." That'll work for the church in these days too. If they'll ever get on fire, the world will come to watch us burn. if we ever truly preach the word as Christ taught them, as one having authority and not as the scribes. When there's a man in this church with an unclean spirit and he's cast out of people, people will come. Christ rebuked them, saying, be quiet, be muzzled, come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed. Why are people not amazed today? Why are they not astonished today? Why are they not astonished at our teaching? If we're teaching what Jesus Christ taught, or are we teaching man-centered religion that is all about man as opposed to being all about God and what he has done for man? And where is the power in signs, wonders, and miracles? Where has it all gone? May we seek the face of God. May we pray for revival continually. May that be on our hearts day in and day out, that we seek God to bring revival to this world once again, beginning with ourselves, that he would revive us, that we would seek his face, and that he would manifest his power in our midst.